Good afternoon. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Thursday, April 5th, 2018. The time is 2:36 p.m. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this afternoon, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good afternoon.
Senator Machicki.
Good afternoon.
Senator Olson is excused from Senate Finance today. On today's agenda, we have three items, HB 287. It's an appropriation bill for pupil transportation and education, HB 285, appropriation for the mental health budget, and HB 286, appropriation operating budget loans and funds. I'd like to direct members' attention to HB 287, appropriation pupil transportation. Senator Bishop, may I have a motion, please?
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent the committee adopt 30LS1229/Romeo as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Brief at ease while we pass out the document. We're back on the record. Committee members, the House proposed early funding of K through 12 education and transportation, Mount Edgecombe funding. The Senate agrees that instability and uncertainty for educators across our state is important and that we should eliminate the possibility of pink slips for hardworking educators, superintendents, and students who are trying to learn across our state. The bill before you is a proposal in response to what the House delivered to us in the form of early funding for K through 12 for education. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We would like to thank the House of Representatives. We did not take this particular piece of legislation up until we received the operating budget, but and this has been delayed. We received the operating budget yesterday, and we are presenting the early funding bill to the body for consideration, knowing that education is a high priority of both the House and the Senate. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Eklund, could you walk us through the structure of the Senate CS for House Bill 287, Finance/R?
Sure. Thank you. For the record, Madam Chairman, my name is Pete Eklund, staff to Senator Hoffman. And Madam Chair, I'm just going to simply walk through the pages of the bill. On page 2, section 1, Madam Chair, these are elements of a K through 12 aid that came over in this in the other body's version of the bill. This is aid to different school districts and to Mount Edgecombe. On page 3 and page 4 are simply the funding roll-ups or the funding sources contained on section 1, which was page 2. That tells you where the funding sources come from on pages 3 and pages 4. Pages 5, Madam Chairman, section 4, the top of the page, is legislative intent. And I'll just paraphrase instead of reading it, Madam Chairman, that it's intent that instructs the Department of Revenue and the Permanent Fund Corporation to work together and utilize, we commonly refer to it as a CBR borrowing language. It's in the FY18 budget. It will appear in the FY19 budget, and it allows the CBR to be used for cash flow purposes in anticipation of general fund revenue. And so the intent language instructs both, again, the Permanent Fund Corporation and the Department of Revenue to work together so the Permanent Fund can throughout the year make cash transfers to the general fund as it sees fit, or whatever is most prudent fiscally or financially for the Permanent Fund Corporation to make transfers to the general fund. This language reinforces that it's intended of the legislature that they work closely with the Department of Revenue, so they don't have to do a cash transfer on either June 30th or July 1st. They can work throughout the fiscal year to make those transfers, Madam Chairman. And down on line 11, section 5, what this is a 5.25% draw from the ERA, and it's related in some sense. It's an unstructured draw in the sense, Madam Chairman, that there is not statute in place right now that would instruct this, but there are. Madam Chairman, I know I'm probably not supposed to refer to another bill, but there is another bill, Madam Chairman, that both bodies passed, Senate Bill 26, and that bill, both bodies' versions had a 5.25% draw, and that bill also would have taken effect in FY18, and so this language reflects what was included in Senate Bill 26, a 5.25% draw, which when taken, we paid out a dividend in October of last year of almost $726 million. And so what this language does is it takes a draw from the ERA of 5.25%. It subtracts from that the payment that was already made for the dividend last October. The remainder then is $1.792 billion, which goes to the general fund in FY18. And that becomes FY18 revenue.
Mr. Eklund, did the budget that we received from the House contain a percentage draw?
Yes, Madam Chairman. The operating budget had a 5.25% draw from the ERA to the general fund for dividends and for the general fund.
Thank you.
And I should note, Madam Chairman, that it is a 5.25% nominal draw. The effective rate draw is 4.21%, because there's the averaging. We look back five of the last previous six fiscal years, so it's a 4.21% effective draw, effective rate. And down in line 20, section 6 is fund capitalization for K-12, K-12 funding the BSA in FY19. The amount, $1.189 billion, is fully funding the BSA for next fiscal year, 2019. And then after that is Section B. That is for pupil transportation, $78.1 million. That fully funds pupil transportation for the coming fiscal year. And then further, Madam Chairman, Section C is fully funding the BSA for fiscal year 2020. And Section D is the same for people transportation, fully funding that for 2020. And then Section 7 on page 6, Madam Chairman, is just a standard lapse that those are capitalizations of fund, those appropriations, and do not lapse. Section 8 on line 4 is contingency. So it refers to Section 6C and 6D, and Section 6C and 6D are the FY20 appropriations for K-12 education and pupil transportation. So those two sections would come into effect upon the enactment of Senate Bill 26. And then Sections 9, 10, and 11 are effective dates.
Are there questions from committee members on the structure of the Senate CS for House Bill 287, Forward Funding of Education? I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to the Senate CS for House Bill 287, Finance, /R? Seeing and hearing none, the working draft is adopted. Version R is before us as a working document. Thank you, Mr. Eklund. I'd like to invite Angela Rodell, CEO of the Alaska Permanent Fund, to the microphone. Welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Angela Rodell, and I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation.
Ms. Rodell, Alaskans want to be assured that the corpus of the Permanent Fund is protected and that we use a resource prudently and that you are able to function. Could you please provide us comments on the bill before us?
Sure. Madam Chair, the bill before you does protect the corpus of the fund. It's important to note that the corpus of the fund is constitutionally protected, and this bill does not in any way touch the corpus or the principle of the fund. The concerns or the observations I would make about this bill that continue to generate questions for us is we need to be put, we need to have a statutory framework in place. And it's important that the fund and the fund not be placed in the position of, quite honestly, the discussions and the debates over how much to use each year, where that should go, but rather to give us a working framework so that we can plan each year accordingly for the investments. We will work with Treasury to plan this out over the course of the year, the draws, and should this bill pass all of its required hurdles and make that happen. But we would really encourage the body to continue to work, and I note the contingency language is in there, but really work towards getting a formal statutory framework in place that we can plan for each year in terms of knowing what our distribution requirement is going to be.
Are there questions from committee members? Senator Hoffman.
Is it fair to say that without that, the corporation is concerned about having to have unstructured draws that can put the corporation and the potential earnings that may be utilized to fund those unstructured draws a primary concern of the board?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, that is correct. Those unstructured, unknown draws make it very difficult for the Board of Trustees, and they have passed a resolution strongly encouraging the legislature to come to a rules-based framework.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Other questions? Thank you for joining us in Senate Finance today.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite Mike Barnhill, Deputy Commissioner of Department of Revenue, to the microphone. Your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Mike Barnhill, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Revenue.
Welcome to Senate Finance. We have a CS in front of us to forward fund education, provide education. Mr. Barnhill, do you have questions, comments for our consideration?
Madam Chair, I don't have any questions. It seems to me that the salient provisions with respect to the Department of Revenue are set out in Section 4 of the CS before the committee. So it calls upon the Department of Revenue to use the Constitutional Budget Reserve as a backstop to the general fund. That's language that appears frequently in the operating budget over the past several years. The wrinkle here is that we're going to do that in order to assist the permanent fund in maximizing its investment revenue. And so that calls upon the Department of Revenue and the permanent fund to work cooperatively to schedule the timing of payments from the permanent fund to the general fund. We, at present, work internally to schedule transfers from the Constitutional Budget Reserve into the general fund periodically through the year. We have a model that predicts when the daily balance of the general fund is going to go below $400 million, and that's when we time our draws on the Constitutional Budget Reserve. We would use that model at the end of FY18 and going into FY19 to assist in providing a schedule to the permanent fund so that we could schedule it appropriately and hopefully in a way that would assist the permanent fund in maximizing investment revenue.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? I'd like to set this bill aside. I would like to notify the public that we will be taking up this bill for public hearing in conjunction with the operating budget tomorrow. We wanted to make sure it was on the table so Alaskans had an opportunity to thoroughly digest the information before them, and so it will be taken up in public testimony tomorrow with the operating budget. With that, if you could set aside 287, brief at ease.
We'll call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Before we get started on the operating budgets, Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I want to be very clear about forward funding of education. The House gave the Senate a separate bill for funding education. That bill and the Senate's position on that bill has been extracted and placed into the House's bill to advance education funding sooner rather than later as we go into deliberations on the larger budget that's that is going to be before us in just a few minutes. This is not new language. It's not new funding. It is being pulled out of the next bill that we will take up. And so we're not, I just want to make sure that people are getting the same information at the same time, and it would have been placed in our regular budget versus a separate standalone bill. And that bill is being considered separately at the House's request to move that bill along faster than the normal process. So I just want to be very clear that this is funding for education that would normally appear and be scheduled at the same time as our regular operating budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. With that, we have before us a CS. Senator Bishop.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee adopt 30-GH2564/N as our working document.
In regards to Senate Bill 286. Mm-hmm. And I will object for presentation with Senate Finance Staff Pete Eklund. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pete Eklund, staff to Senator Hoffman. And, Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to hold up a few documents to orient members of what they have on their desks, Mr. Chairman. So you'll have a little booklet here that has all the FY19 narratives from the different subcommittees in them. If you want to look at those have a kind of a synopsis of what happened in the subcommittees. I'm not going to, in my presentation, go over the subcommittees that their changes so much. I'm going to go over the language section changes, Mr. Chairman. And further, you'll have a report in front of you from Legislative Finance Division. And as the co-chair McKinnon just stated, in this operating budget bill, House Bill 286, we've removed the funding for K-12 pupil transportation and those other elements of that are aid to school districts from 286, and we placed them in House Bill 287, and that is reflected in the reports, Mr. Chairman, so you can have an apples-to-apples compare of the Senate's total budget to the House and the governor and so forth.
I might point out for the Finance Committee members here in the audience and the general public, the subcommittee chairs have been having hearings, and they closed out this week, and those reports have been incorporated into the document that Mr. Eklund has presented. Please proceed, Mr. Eklund.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. And further, the committee and the public right now has this one report in front of them there. But, Mr. Chairman, as soon as we adopt the bill, the CS, Legis Finance is going to have a myriad of reports, all kinds of different reports that the public can look at and other members can look at to compare our RCS to the other body's version and to the governor's amended version and so forth. Okay, and also, Mr. Chairman, you're going to have in front of you a document compare. It's a document compare and also a four-page document that I'm going to be reading from momentarily. I'm sure it'll be exciting. And that lists all the changes from the changes I'm going to talk about, Mr. Chairman, are not changes from the other body's version of the bill. They are changes from what we call CS0. We adopted a CS on the Senate version of the bill on February 9th, and that bill just kind of rearranged the governor's budget the way Ledge Finance and Ledge Legal wanted to see it. And so the document compare you have in front of you is to CS0, and that's what I'm going to be going through. And I guess before I do that, Mr. Chairman, I'll just mention some of the big numbers for the public of what this CS contains. It is $5.5 million of unrestricted general fund. That includes the dividend, Mr. Chairman. $868 million of designated general funds, $1.428 million of other state funds, and $2.45 billion of federal funds, for a total of $10.2 billion, Mr. Chairman. And
can you state the amount of the dividend in this bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There is an amount for the individual dividend, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman. That is $1,600 per individual. And if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, I'll go start reading through the language changes from our CS0.
Please proceed, Mr. Eklund.
So sections 1 through 3 incorporate all changes adopted by the Senate Finance Subcommittees, as the Chairman just noted, with the exception that all funding for the Department of Education and Early Development that is included in SCS HB 287 has been removed from the committee substitute. Section 4A, page 53, lines 1 through 3, discourages future supplemental requests by adding legislative intent, stating that the amounts appropriated in the bill are the full amounts that will be appropriated for FY19. Section 7, page 54, lines 16 through 24, revised language submitted by the governor regarding the declaration of the FY19 ADA dividend. Similar language was adopted by the legislature last year. Section 8, the permanent fund, pages 54 through 55. Subsections A and B regarding royalty deposits to the fund corpus and earning deposits to the capital income fund remain as proposed. Subsection C retains the governor's proposed 5.25% payout from the earnings reserve account to the general fund, but corrects that amount of the payout to $2.722 billion. Subsection D modifies the governor's proposed appropriation to the dividend fund. It was $819 million for an estimated dividend of $1,216. And now the amount necessary to pay a $1,600 dividend, and that amount is just estimated to be $1,023 million. The committee substitute also eliminates the governor's request of $1.45 billion from the earnings of reserve account to the corpus for inflation proofing in FY 16, 17, and 18. It eliminates the governor's appropriation of $943 million from the ERA to the corpus for FY 19 inflation proofing. And it moves the governor's request to fund the operating costs of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation to the number section, or what we call Section 1 of the bill. Sections 9F and G, page 56, lines 19 through 26, replaces the governor's Department of Administration request for a single open-ended appropriation with two distinct sections. It appropriates an amount necessary not to exceed $500,000 from the general fund for retirement plan sponsor costs, and it appropriates the amount necessary, estimated to be zero, to cover retirement system actuarial costs associated with any bills introduced by the legislature. The committee substitute eliminates the following governor's requests. So basically, Mr. Chairman, I could read all those, but we eliminated all of the supplemental requests that were contained in the governor's request. We had a fast track supplemental bill that passed the legislature, and then there's going to be further supplementals considered in another bill, Mr. Chairman. There may be a couple items that we removed there that weren't just supplementals. We removed, I'm looking on page 2 now, on line 10, or bullet number 10, page 60, lines 22 through 24, Department of Health and Social Services, Medicaid Services. There was open-ended language in FY18. Oh, that was a supplemental also, but we've removed that. Anyway, Mr. Chairman, I'll move on down to on page 2, section 17E. Page 64, lines 16 through 31, and page 65, lines 1 through 7. That moves debt service items from the CBR section to the debt service section and funds the appropriations with general funds. Section 17H, 14 and 15, page 67, lines 11 through 19. In lieu of general funds, utilizes $12.3 million of lapsing general obligation bond authorization to repay principal of the 2013 Series B bonds. That was a GO bond. Section 17M, page 69, lines 29 through 31, and page 70, lines 1 through 7, replaces a $17.6 million of general funds with achieve funds for school debt reimbursement. And Mr. Chairman, I would just, as an aside, what the CS proposes to do with debt reimbursement and also with oil and gas tax credits, we refer to it as levelizing the UGF between FY19 and FY20. There are known debt schedules, and there we have a spring forecast from the Department of Revenue that instructs us what the FY20 payment would be for oil and gas tax credits. And so what we have done in this CS is use UGF to pay the amount that we would see in FY20, and then we've used achieve funds as a one-time funding source to pay the difference in addition to come up to the FY19 amount. So we pay the FY19 amount using both achieve funds and UGF. Next, Mr. Chairman, on sections 18A, page 70, lines 13 through 24, it amends the FY18 legislative budget and audit language to prevent the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation from spending additional designated program receipts. Section 18B, page 70, lines 25 through 31, and page 71, lines 1 through 2, amends the FY19 legislative budget and audit language to prevent the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation from spending additional designated program receipts. So that language covers FY18 and FY19. Section 19C replaces $2 million of general funds with ACHI funds for deposit into the Disaster Relief Fund. Moving on to page 3, Mr. Chairman, section 19F deposits an estimated amount of $184 million, and of which $168 million is general funds and $16 is coming from the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance, or ACHI fund, into the Oil and Gas Tax Credit Fund based on a statutory calculation. Section 19G changes the effective date of the $30 million Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund deposit into the Community Assistance Fund from FY18 to FY19. The committee substitute also eliminates the following governor's requests. Page 72, lines 11 through 26. FY19 deposit of general funds into the Public Education Fund for K-12 Foundation and Pupil Transportation, and as we've previously discussed, those are now contained in HB 287. Page 73, lines 1 through 3, FY18 and FY19 open-ended deposit of designated program receipts collected by the AGDC Corporation into the AKLNG Fund, and page 73, lines 4 through 6. The transfer of $12 million from the In-State Gas Natural Pipeline Fund to the Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Project Fund. And, Mr. Chairman, I would just note that these are the first proposals, or this is obviously, Mr. Chairman, the first work draft, and there's a long way to go in the process before we come to an end product, Mr. Chairman. Section 20C appropriates an equal amount to 50% of punitive damages imposed under the statute AS 09-17-020J for FY18 into the Civil Legal Services Fund, and this is a $1,000 estimate, Mr. Chairman. Section 20F changes the effective date of the $14 million Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund deposit into the Renewable Energy Fund from FY18 to FY19. The committee substitute eliminated the following governor's request, page 76, lines 3 through 4. The FY18 deposit of $23.9 million into the Alaska Green Highway System Fund, and that was taken care of in the supplemental. Section 21, retirement system funding. It moves retirement system funding items from the CBR sections to the retirement system funding section and funds the appropriations with general funds. Eliminates a contingent appropriation requested by the governor, reducing retirement appropriations by $25.5 million based on potential savings under the Medicaid Part D Employer Group Waiver Plan, better known as AGWIP. Adds intent language for the Alaska Retirement Management Board to consider the funding ratio when making recommendations for the Alaska National Guard and Alaska Naval Militia retirement systems. Section 23B amends the amount of shared taxes to local governments to the full amount of aviation fuel tax or surcharge collected from $100,000 to $182,900. Section 25 is the constitutional budget reserve sections. And subsection A is the FY18 reverse sweep language. Subsection B is the FY19 deficit filling language. Subsection C is FY19 headroom, totaling $100 million. Subsection D is borrowing language for the general fund from the Constitutional Budget Reserve Fund. And subsection D, as an aside, Mr. Chairman, that is the borrowing language we were referring to when we discussed the previous bill that was just before the committee. Subsection E identifies sections A through C as needing a three-quarter vote by the legislature in order to be effective. And lastly, Mr. Chairman, the last page. The document compare for the Constitutional Budget Reserve section reflects items that are being moved elsewhere in the bill, not being eliminated. For example, debt service and retirement system appropriations have been relocated to the appropriate section of the bill. The committee substitute eliminates the following governor's request. Page 80, lines 9 through 13, use of the statutory budget reserve for FY19. Page 81, lines 6 through 7, the governor's request for $27 million to pay interest on a debt financing mechanism for the purpose of retiring oil and gas tax credits. That would come in a form of a fiscal note, Mr. Chairman, if that bill passed. Page 83, lines 28 through 31, and page 84, line 1, deletes contingency language related to the senior benefits program. Mr. Chairman, that program is also up for reauthorization. Legislative Legal Services made editorial and technical changes throughout the bill that are not included in this list that I just read, including revising sections references for lapsing of appropriations, retroactivity, and effective dates. With that, Mr. Chairman, I can try to take some questions.
Thank you, Mr. Eklund. Can you please go over the operating budget agency summaries, Senate structure as compared to the governor's amended and to the House general numbers in agency operations and statewide items?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that was the report that's labeled HB 286 supporting document A that was handed out. If you look at, Mr. Chairman, I'll just run through the columns so people can understand what they are. Column one is government. Column two is the House budget or the other body's budget. Column three is SCS-1, so that is the Senate Committee Substitute 1, the bill you have in front of you, the work draft you have in front of you. Column four is the education funding contained in House Bill 287. And column five, that's labeled computed, is the Senate's total budget, Mr. Chairman, so you can make an apples-to-apples comparison to both the other body's budget and the government budget. And so you will see in the government to computed column that the Senate version of this budget is $79.3 million below in agency operations, below the governor. And in agency operations, it is $97.8 million below the governor. Then when you include statewide items, Mr. Chairman, when you net the statewide items out and you go down to the total agency and statewide operations at the bottom of the page, you can see that the Senate version is $31 million above the government and $11.7 million below other body.
And can you identify under statewide items why the Senate number is substantially higher than the governor's?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The it's oil and gas tax credits. That is the big item there. The Senate, the governor version had $27 million in anticipation of legislation passing. The other body's version had $49 million, and the Senate version in front of you has a total of $184 million, of which $168 million is unrestricted general funds.
And the number of $184 million from what the Senate understands, that's what's statutorily required after the spring forecast?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. According to the spring forecast put out by the Department of Revenue, that is what they computed the oil and tax credit payment to be.
Do you recall what it was before the forecast? It was in the 200 million?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I believe the fall forecast was 206 million, I believe.
So that went down. Are there any questions by members of the committee? Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to clarify that Mr. Eklund mentioned about the deleting the contingency language on the senior benefits. I just don't know that we can stress it enough that that is carried on another bill, is going to sunset. But there is contingency language and intent language in the document that will return that funding as the bill passes.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. I will remove my objection in adopting the CS. Are there further objections? Seeing none, that is that motion is passed and the CS is before us in our working document. I would like to go over the schedule for the general public. We will start having public hearings starting tomorrow morning, Friday, April 6th at 9 a.m. Regarding the legislation, starting with Juneau at 9 to 9:30. 9:30 to 10 o'clock, Barrow, Tope, Delta Junction, 10 to 10:30, Kenai, Kodiak, Dillingham, 10:30 to 11 o'clock, we will have Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg. And then we will continue the public hearing process on Friday, starting at 1:30. At 1:30 to 2 p.m., Bethel, Nome, Kotzebue, Unalaska. 2 to 3 o'clock would be Sitka, Cordova, Valdez. 2:30 to 3:30 would be Fairbanks, Matsu. 3:30 to 4 o'clock would be Glen Allen, Seward, Homer. 4 to 5 o'clock would be statewide off-net. And 5 to 6 o'clock we will have the community of Anchorage. I would like to, at this time, thank all of the subcommittee chairs for all of their hard work and all the committee work that they've spent hours in producing their documents that have been incorporated into this operating budget. This is a start. Once we finish the public hearing process, we will be taking up amendments and then taking action on this particular piece of legislation. It will go forward to the floor where it will be considered, and then requesting the House to rescind its action or take up the consideration of our bill, obviously they will reject that. We will both appoint conference committees and continue the work before we come up with the conference committee report that is acceptable to the House and acceptable to the Senate before the both bodies vote on the concurrence motion. Again, this has been a long and drawn out process. The subcommittees have been meeting simultaneously with the other body. It may seem to the general public and the listening audience that we are acting with haste, but the process has been a long and ongoing one, and we're trying to get our work completed before that, completed before the 90 days are up, at least past the Senate floor. So those are the hearings on that particular piece of legislation. We will now move on to House Bill 285, appropriation for the mental health budget. Do we have a motion? Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, HB 285, mental health budget. Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent the committee adopt 30-GH2566/Romeo as our working document, mental health budget.
And I will object, Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the mental health budget simply is the programs that are funded with either MTAR, the Mental Health Trust Authorized Receipts, and General Fund Mental Health Funds. Mr. Chairman, we remove those from the operating budget and we place them in what we call a mental health budget so they can be tracked. And so, Mr. Chairman, it's just all the items that are contained in this are involved or included in all the other reports that you will see, Mr. Chairman. I don't have much to say about this bill.
Thank you, and I will remove my objection. Are there further objections to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, that motion is adopted, and the CS is adopted as our working document. I've already stated the schedule that we're going to proceed with tomorrow morning. Are there any closing comments that any committee members may have? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to thank you and your office working together with me and my staff and Ledge Affairs staff. I'd like to thank everyone for a marvelous job and my subcommittee members.
Any other comments? Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for going through the outline of the public hearing process tomorrow. I just wanted to restate for the record that all three bills will be up for public hearing tomorrow, House Bill 285, House Bill 286, and House Bill 287. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for all your work in bringing this product to the people of Alaska. We hope to hear from them tomorrow.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Any additional comments? Seeing none, we will stand adjourned.
Peter. Thanks.